welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are playing a risky, risky game today, Crystal.
Yes, I know.
We are recording on the road. We have probably the hackiest setup I can fathom.
Yeah.
Because even though we are two reasonably intelligent people who plan trips reasonably well, and we did remember we had to record.
Yes.
We brought the recorder. We brought the power cord. We brought the laptops for editing and doing all that stuff.
Right.
But we did not bring the tripod that we use.
Yeah. Well, you know, the car was full.
Yeah. So we have a setup worked out here where we're using a chair and a couch, and everything's going to sound a little weird this time around. And also, we may have a lot of uninvited guests. We have the Do Not Disturb sign on, but that is not repeated to stop people from repeatedly knocking on our door.
Right.
But guess what? If they knock on the door now with a Do Not Disturb sign, they get to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
New rule.
Yeah.
But anyways, yes indeed, this is Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcasts, we are there. And as we noted, we are on the road this week.
Yes.
We decided to escape Mardi Gras, and judging from the news back home, that might have been a life-saving move.
Oh, dark.
Dark humor starting this all, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a rough Mardi Gras for New Orleans, let's be honest here.
It's
not been a good one.
No.
But, yeah. So, anyway, so we are in Wichita.
That's about all you need to know.
I'm going to save my rant on Kansas and Wichita for after the week is done. That'll be the next week's rant that I go on for about 5 minutes before we cover any useful content.
Yeah, well, I mean, other than seeing family, we haven't seen much of the area.
And that's the reason I kind of want to save the rant. But, I mean, I think it's, like, the state of Kansas really doesn't want you to visit.
Yeah.
They're a flyover state, and apparently they're very fucking happy about it. And you know this, because if you come up 35, and they don't call it 35, we've learned, they call it the Kansas Kansas Turnpike.
Right.
You come up 1 mile after crossing from Oklahoma into Kansas, they hit you with a fucking toll.
Yeah.
On an interstate. Do you want me here or not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, Jesus Christ. No wonder nobody looks at their vacation days and goes, we could go to Kansas. Dorothy, when she said we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto should have been fucking celebrating. So I'll get half the rant out now. We'll do the other half later.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get half of it now. But anyways, it is time to do what we got to do, our conference reminders. Before we kick into this week's topic, 10 things we love about being haunters.
Mm-hmm.
2 episodes ago, because we had a news episode in between, because
right.
Planning! Yeah. What's that? We did an episode 10 things we hate about being haunters, where we vented some of our frustrations. So now we're doing the opposite, because we believe in fairness, damn it. The first thing is first, conference reminders, Crystal, oddball, go.
All right. March 19th through the 22nd, it's Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center. It's co-located with the Christmas Show and the Room Escape Show. Darkness and Limp Brewery behind-the-scenes tours will be happening. It also features Party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by the Vampire Circus on Friday, and a werewolf ball on Saturday. Ha Show, HAASHOW.com for more info.
All right, after that, May 15th through the 17th in Portland, Oregon, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention at the Doubletree Hotel Portland. They'll be touring Fear Haunted House. Also includes a costume ball, a silent auction, and the annual Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival, which has a secret selection of films. HauntersConvention.com for more info.
Also, May 15th through the 17th, it's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. It features a ghost hunt, costume party, and haunted house tours. OhioHHC.com for more info.
I've got to say, looking at the images of this one, the location is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, just picture where you want a Haunters convention to be, and stop. You're done.
Yeah.
All right, after that, June 5th through the 7th in Schaumburg, Illinois, not Chicago, as we are being reminded repeatedly about Chicago, but outside of Chicago, it's the Midwest Haunters Convention at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel, touring Abandoned Haunted House Complex, Disturbia, and Evil Intentions. Also features a costume party and a kid zone. MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Okay, finally for this week, it's June 26th through the 28th. It's Michigan Haunt Fest at the Oaks Campground in Muneth, Michigan. It features demos, make and takes, and camping, and more. Some of the proceeds benefit the Humane Society. MichiganHauntFest.weebly.com.
Yep, for more details. That looks like a lot of fun. If you're into camping and haunting, honestly, that just looks like a hell of a combination to me.
Yeah, that's one of those that I would consider going to as now, one of the camping
ones. Now, since this is new this week, I will point out on their website, they emphasize very heavily that a registration to the conference does not guarantee you a camping spot, because the camping is controlled by the actual campground.
Right.
So if you want to camp at the camp haunting camping thingy, you might want to book early and make sure to reserve both your convention ticket and your camping ticket.
That makes sense.
So, just a little warning. If you're interested in it, that's what you need to do.
Okay.
Right. I'm sure I'll repeat that a few hundred times between now and whenever the convention happens.
Yeah, I am positive.
Excuse me. We're both dealing also, in addition to traveling to Wichita, with sore throats.
Still with the cold that we had last week, so.
Well, then the cold's like permutated. It's like, I'm not getting the tiredness I had previously. In fact, right. I've been wide the fuck awake because I need to see Wichita, apparently. Couldn't sleep through this.
Yeah.
But, but I still wake up every morning with, like, a closed, sore throat. Mm. It's getting a little bit better every morning. I'm not, like, waking up in a panic now. I'm just waking up annoyed.
Yeah.
But it's still every morning I have a sore throat, so I'm on the decongestant run and everything.
Yeah.
But yes, as we noted, a quick update about us. I figured this would be more useful than perhaps the quick update about our haunts. We definitely didn't do anything on the haunt this week.
No.
But we are in Wichita this week. We're visiting Ellie's family. It took literally 16 hours of travel time. Because it's always funny because, like, Google Maps is always like, you can get there in 12 and a half hours. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you don't pee, stop for gas.
Eat.
Go to the bathroom and all. You know?
Yeah.
Or see anything on the way. Yeah, I guess you can.
Yeah. I mean, our stops were still minimal.
Yeah. And that's just it. I mean, you and I road trip very differently than Ellie.
Yeah.
Ellie is like the Jim Cornette road tripper. She's like pulling at the Wendy's, eating her burger in her lap and that type of thing. You and I, it's like, holy crap, there's a random museum here.
Yeah.
Let's go see it. So we're very different road trippers. And that's always one of the things that's really frustrating on long road trips is because we saw that action figure museum. Where was that? In Texas somewhere? North of
Denver? I think it was...
It's between Dallas and Oklahoma City, I thought.
Yeah, it's definitely between there, but I thought it was on the Oklahoma side.
Yeah, it was somewhere in that run.
Yeah.
And we're like, holy crap, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, let's go to the toy museum that's right next to the action figure museum.
Yeah, it's like...
Let's go to those.
And now we gotta get to Wichita.
Yeah. God. Maybe on the way back.
Maybe. It depends upon the schedule. I'm gonna leave, because the schedule on the way back is even tighter with a harder deadline.
Yeah, I know.
Which sucks.
It does.
But yes. But we are in Wichita this week. So if you do happen to know anyone in the Wichita area over the next couple of days, we'll be here. I think we're leaving Friday at lunch-ish is the way it's looking.
Yeah, but we'll have some time Thursday. Our Wednesday is booked.
Wednesday's booked. Tuesday's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
Thursday's wide open, Wednesday is slammed, and Friday morning, there's some flexibility. But if you know anyone, or you're in Wichita, and you want to explain why you're in Wichita, please feel free to hit us up. Once again, hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter. The easiest way to get in touch with us, people keep asking, is to send a message To the page at Haunt Weekly on Facebook. And the reason is that goes to both of us.
Right.
And we don't have to, like, coordinate with each other.
Yeah, I check my pages app all the time. So
yeah, so we get those pretty quickly and respond very quickly there.
Right.
Email seems to be some kind of weird right now. I'm still working on that. I think something went squirrely when I moved the domain to a new registrar. I'm going to fix that. Maybe I'll fix it later today. Okay. But anyway, long story short, that's the easiest way to get in touch with us. So, like we said, 2 weeks ago, we did 10 things that we hate about haunting. And I gotta admit, it was very cathartic.
Yes.
We were in a angry-ish place, so it felt good to vent for about an hour mm-hmm. and talk about the things that we really drive us crazy about being a haunter and some of the frustrations we have. But as is what we try to do on this podcast, like we did the 10 reasons to worry about all the reasons that the haunt industry is dying versus all the reasons to be optimistic.
Right.
We just break them into separate episodes, and that way you kind of hopefully get a more balanced perspective.
Yes.
And you get to judge which episode is more important or more weightful. More.
Yeah.
But yes, right now we are indeed also, this is cathartic this week because we are a little bit on the downside, I'm not going to lie. So this is a need for a pick-me-up. And you see, this podcast is good for our mental health, is all I have to say. We probably not actually good for our mental health, but
yeah.
We're going to pretend and we're going to use it accordingly.
Okay.
All right. So, item one, the creativity.
Yes.
This is huge. We are both very creative people, even before we ever got involved with haunting in any way.
Yes.
I have always been a writer. You have always been an artist of one stripe or another. You were a writer at one point, but you've...
Right.
You veered into the visual arts and seemed to have largely stuck there.
Yeah, my visual arts professor told me that I was a better writer than an artist.
So, fuck him.
Exactly. Well, so, of course, I stuck with art instead of going to...
Well, I mean, it's like my AP test, though. I got a 5 on my calculus AP test. Uh-huh. I maxed out the calculus AP test.
Right.
And I got a 2 on my English. So, of course, I make my living writing.
Yeah.
I'd done good English.
Yeah.
But we're very creative people, and we're
yes.
always working on creating new things, either in our head or in real life. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great way, this is a very crucial creative outlet for us.
Yes.
And the thing I like about the creativity in haunting is it isn't just the building part.
No, it's not. There's a lot of thinking
involved. In fact, I would argue that most of the creativity takes place before screw one is put in.
I'd agree with that.
I think the creativity after you start building, it switches to more of a problem-solving creativity rather than the type of creativity we're talking about here.
Well, I think it's all-encompassing, really.
Yeah,
sure. Because, I mean, when you start out, you're thinking about things and you're planning it out, and that's the, we're creating something new that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
But then when you start actually making it exist, then you have to do the problem solving, like you said, and put it into a physical form.
Yeah. And then, as we know, when we start putting screws in and start building walls and things, the quintessential line, this wasn't in the CAD drawing.
Right.
How many times we say that a season?
Yeah. Let's go back to the drawing board.
Okay, we got to rethink this. Yeah. But that's just it. It's like even just thinking about ideas for the haunt, just like loosely. I mean, we'll sit there at a bar or at a coffee shop or wherever.
Yeah.
And we're just hanging out and we're just spitballing ideas.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, one of the things we spitball the most is what is our new scare going to be? Because that's what we always start with.
Yeah.
Is we try to get a new scare, a new type of scare in every year.
Yep.
So, which room was the weakest last year? Mm-hmm. That's usually where the new scare goes. And then we'll just sit there and go, hey, what if we did this? What if we did that? Have we seen this anywhere else in our area? Mm-hmm. Can we play off of it?
Yeah. And what a lot of people don't realize is if you're not like, and I imagine most people listening to this are, and this is preaching to the choir here, by the way,
right.
I know I'm doing that, but there are people out there that are not creative people.
Yeah.
They just flatly aren't. And if you're not a creative person, you don't understand how important that kind of creativity is.
Yeah.
The fun, the freeloading, the mental exercise, just playing creativity.
Right.
And you get a lot of that with haunting because you get the, like I said, spitball scare ideas.
Right.
You get the spitball theme ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to do it in a space where it's like there are no wrong answers.
Right.
We're just playing. We're just...
Yeah.
And then we eventually settle on something, and then you've got to engage in other types of very, once again, free creativity.
Right.
To, okay, get the details, flesh out how it's going to work, where's the angle of attack with that scare, for example.
Right.
And so on and so forth. And you just kind of get this playground feel that I don't get anywhere else in creativity.
No.
Like, I do a lot of writing for my job.
Mm-hmm.
But those all start with something. I have limitations and boundaries.
Yeah.
I have to have a post about plagiarism and or copyright for Plagiarism Today. I have topics for the other blogs I write for.
Right.
Yeah, it's very creative to pull that together, but you don't get that free play.
Right.
Where you can just, like, literally throw darts at the wall of your mind and see what happens.
Yeah, there's a restriction. No, there's, like... There is a virtual world inside of my head that contains our garage.
Yes. Exactly. And it even goes down to like things like examining the scare for safety. When we drill down,
right.
We're still doing free play because that is, okay, what if some dumbass does this?
Right, exactly.
We start concocting these wild wackadoodle scenarios where someone could get hurt.
Yeah.
And then we have to analyze, okay, is that a realistic enough scenario for us to do something about?
Right.
Oftentimes it is because we've seen some wild wackadoodle stuff take place in that on.
We have.
So, but it's once again, it's a form of free play where you're coming up, you're trying to invent a way someone can get hurt with the scare.
Yeah, and I also think that having this free play creativity space makes it easier for us to keep our other side jobs.
Yeah.
Or, well, my side job, my side hustle, your main actual job.
Well, because once you're used to this and all the and dealing with everything and playing around that space, mm-hmm. when you have to deal in a more focused environment, your brain finds it easier.
Exactly.
It's like, it's, go ahead.
Because you have your play space and then you have your workspace. And even though both are creative,
mm-hmm.
it's easier to keep the workspace, like you said, honed in because you know you have this other outlet for the rest of the creativity.
And it also keeps your brain super exercised on creativity.
Right.
It's a bit like, you know, how batters in baseball will put that weight on the bat.
Yeah.
And then when they go up to actually hit, they take it off and they're able to hit harder.
Mm-hmm.
It's that type of thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where your brain is used to having to consider a bajillion new variables. And now that you're focused on one thing, you know, you can hone in easier.
Yeah. You think about a bat with a weight. I think about Goku going to the planet.
I didn't want to make a reference. I wasn't 100% sure everyone would get, but yes.
I know. Everyone knows what a bat is.
Everyone's at least seen a baseball bat. I don't know how many people have seen that episode of Dragon Ball Z, okay?
Yeah, I know.
Where he goes to the planet with, like, the ultra-high gravity to train, so that when he gets back to Earth, he's even way stronger and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's the exact same idea.
Uh-huh.
Item two, we gotta move on.
Yeah.
Getting to build cool things. After that free space creativity, and right. after we've pared it all down, as haunters, we get to build some really cool things.
Yeah.
I mean, we've built, you know, monsters taller than our house.
Yeah.
We've built everything from really, really tiny props and scares to just ginormous, huge things.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I like fixing things and working on things. It was kind of fun to put the ceiling fan in.
Yeah. Well, and this one was different than the last one we installed.
Mm-hmm.
And we could notice, like, the people who built this one, we're really thinking about how this is going to go together.
And even though the instructions were not 100% clear,
right?
I mean, we'll just say this. There were some leftover parts that we found out later were supposed to be leftover.
Yeah.
Warn a dude before that happens is what I'm saying.
What is this big metal plate?
Wait, where's this big metal plate go? Oh, that's if you don't put the light thing in. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's like, but yeah, that was not clear. But still, you do get to see how other people think about engineering.
Right.
And that helps a lot, actually. But yeah, But with Haunting, we get to make new things that no one else has made before, at least no one else in our area.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we might be getting instructions from various websites and Facebook groups and so on and so forth. But, in fact, we really need to get the dimensions for our gore box.
Yeah.
Out there, because like people keep asking about it, and I keep forgetting to go take measurements. Because that was literally after the second failure. We just literally winged it.
Yeah, well, because we had seen someone post their version of it, and we're like, oh, that's really that cool. Yeah.
And then, but they didn't have measurements.
No, and they didn't respond whenever we asked.
No.
For instructions.
And so we floundered pretty bad trying to get it right. But no, we might be following guides from someone else, but no one locally in our neighborhood has built that.
No.
And it makes our Home Depot trips way more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember one time we're in the PVC pipe section at Home Depot, and we're buying this random, seemingly random assortment of elbows and pipe links.
Right.
It's just completely wackadoodle. Like, nothing housing related can be built with this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we need 16 right angle elbows, 3 cross pieces. And we're going to like this list. And this guy walks up, can I help you? We're picking up some PVC. Oh, what are you building? Oh, it's going to be a 17-foot monster.
Yeah.
And he just looks at us like, have a good day, sir. And just walks off. Like, I got nothing on this.
Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't. So.
Well, because it's just like, we're building a 17-foot tall monster. This is by a rough estimate. Should be about right.
Yeah.
About what we need. And so, yeah. And actually, I think I asked him, do we need the 3/4 inch or can we use the 1/2 inch or something like that?
Yeah.
What is the proper thickness of PVC for building a 17-foot tall monster? Don't ask that to the Home Depot people. They don't know.
No. And we've actually gotten better about building our monsters, because the problem with the really tall PVC monsters is they tend to fall over in wind.
Yeah.
October is a very windy time for New Orleans.
Yeah. Which is weird. People would think the heart of hurricane season would be the windy one. No.
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 Autumn is really, really windy.
Yeah.
You'll routinely get, just daily gusts of over 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of our alarm phase, is when we see that the winds are going to be above 20, we have to take some kind of action on the yard display.
Yeah.
Because that's we usually design up to about 20. But you can just casually on a random day get 25 mile an hour gusts. No reason.
Yeah, exactly.
We've
gotten away from the giant PVC monsters and moved them into a wooden box structure.
Yeah, we've developed new ways of doing that. But I'll never forget that Home Depot moment.
No. Yeah.
It makes our Home Depot runs a lot of fun. And we get to build things that just are crazy and silly and have no purpose other than to be haunty.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It is.
Number 3. Locally, at least, being kind of sort of famous.
Yeah.
This one's hard to pin down, because I've always said I don't want to be, like, actually famous.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, like, a movie star or anything, because I don't want to, like, be walking down a random street and get accosted by fans wanting my autograph or stuff. That always just seemed really annoying to me.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, people suck, and I don't want to be famous enough to encourage random people to interact with me.
Tell us how you really feel.
I want, like, a certain kind of people to randomly interact with me. Right. I want that level of famous.
Yeah, it's still weird for me that we're recognized at all. But in any circle.
Yeah. Even with the podcast, even with the haunted house, it's still kind of weird.
Right.
But we joke that we have the most famous address in our neighborhood, Algiers.
Yeah.
And we probably straight up do.
We probably do. Yeah.
Because, there are businesses, obviously, that are more traveled to, but you don't navigate there by address.
No.
New Orleans isn't really a town where you do that.
No.
You just go up yonder, turn left on General Meyer, and end it with LED.
Well, yeah, or you put in the name of the business. Yeah. You don't put in the address of the business.
But we have 44 Vivian Court is probably the most famous address in New Orleans.
Right.
And I do believe that fame and notoriety is why our street got repaved.
Yeah.
And why our Halloween in 2019 got ruined.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I think that's a big part of it.
No.
Is, you know, you do Google searches for Huntley Village in particular, our sub-neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Vivian Court lights up, even though it's a nothing street with like 20 houses on it tops.
Yeah.
And it's literally a circle.
Yeah.
But it's very, very well known. And everyone in the neighborhood knows us. Even those that don't like know us like face to face.
Right.
When we mention, oh, yeah, we're the ones that run the haunt.
Right.
They light up.
Yeah, we go to the local bars and meet new people, and they're like, that's you? We love you guys.
Yeah, and even if they don't go and have never been,
right,
they know people who have. They have heard about it.
Exactly. And they're like, oh, we're going this year.
Oh, yeah. We're going this year. This year is never their year, by the way.
No.
If they haven't been now, we've been around 15 years. If they haven't been around by now, they're not coming.
No, I know. But no, I mean, it's an icebreaker. It definitely is. And, you know, there was one time where it actually helped me out because I was in a grocery store trying to reach coolers off of the top of the shelf and I couldn't reach them because I'm a little bit shorter than I could.
You are by no means short. They just put it way up goddamn high for no apparent reason.
Well, that's probably true. But no, a gentleman came up and he's like, hey, you need some coolers? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, is this for the haunted house?
He'd seen us on the news last night, the night before.
The night before. He's like, you run the haunted house, you do something good for the community, here you go.
Coolers. Oh, it's man. Like,
thanks.
Yeah, we are referred to in the neighborhood, and I've heard this said multiple times, as the Addams Family House.
Yeah.
Not the Munsters.
No.
No one's ever called us the Munsters. I guess Munsters fans, you now know which show had greater longevity. I hate to say it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's been Addams Family movies and remakes. And
The Addams Family property's been kept alive much better. But no, we are called the Addams Family House. I guess the skeletons that are in our front yard year-round don't help.
Or do. I mean, depends on how you look at that.
True. But no, it's just a good feeling to be known and appreciated in the neighborhood and know that, you know, no matter where we go locally, we can sort of, you know, have a conversation and make friends and have people at least kind of sort of know who we are.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Item 4.
The stories.
Yeah. You get a group of haunters together, and like the instant thing they start doing is sharing stories.
Right.
It could be build stories, but usually it's scare stories.
Yeah. Yeah, it usually is.
And we have accumulated a ton of them over the past 15 years.
Right.
We sit there sometimes just randomly chuckling to ourselves. Oh, yeah, I just remember that guy that went like a marionette puppet in the middle.
He was trying to run on air.
Like Scooby-Doo style.
I don't know what scare reaction that is, but it didn't work.
I don't think there's a name for that particular reaction because it's fight or flight.
Yeah.
And I think he was stuck between the two.
Yeah.
Like in a loop.
Yeah.
He didn't take a swing, but he didn't run either. He just couldn't figure it out, you know?
Right.
But we relive these moments all the time. And, you know, I can't imagine all the things we would have missed if we hadn't been haunting for the last 15 years or so.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the laughs we would not have shared, the smiles we would not have had. I mean, it's it's incredible.
Yeah, it truly is.
There's not a lot more that needs to be said about that one, but it's one of our favorite go-to conversations between each other, our friends.
Yeah. And when you meet new haunters or people who have worked in haunts, they want to tell you their stories. You can tell them yours.
Exactly. You go back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's so great. Yeah. It's just such a natural feeling.
It is.
Number 5, the friendships and the community.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. Obviously, we're all fans of other things in haunting.
Right.
No one's a fan of just haunting. I mean, I'm a fan of Star Trek in particular.
Yeah.
And so forth. A lot of fandoms are terrible. Like, the Star Trek fandom right now is horrible. I have no idea that this many terrible people like Star Trek. It is really disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
But the haunt community is an amazing one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy to make friends in the haunt community because you already have something very important in common. Just like instantly.
Yeah.
It's a really, really great feeling. And the haunt community is really strong and supportive. I know it wasn't always that way. There was a time in which we got to keep our secrets to ourselves and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Not realizing that that guy in California that's building haunt isn't going to be able to, can't steal your, you know, Massachusetts idea because nobody's going to see both.
Right, exactly.
All you're doing is making haunting less good across the board.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I remember, like, when I first started haunting actively in the 90s, when we first started, when we were doing things in South Carolina, or even when I was doing things at, in my parents' house, you would try to look up or find out how to do various illusions and things, and people wouldn't tell you.
No.
Like, even simple things, like how to do a Pepper's Ghost.
Right.
You had to really struggle to find details. Now, you can find that instruction online in 100 places, and probably have a few hundred people that are willing to, you know, get hands-on and help you make it.
Exactly.
We've gone from being this very secretive and reclusive community where we're all like Gollum guarding the ring. We might have watched Lord of the Rings last night.
Yeah.
To very open, very sharing, and it's such a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said, with so many other fandoms being so terrible,
yeah,
the haunt community being so amazing is just that much more impressive. We're an instant brother slash sisterhood on and both IRL and online.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, with the haunt community, I've never gotten or felt anything other than love and support.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
In terms of like, well, people I consider the haunt community.
No, I know. No, I completely agree with that.
You know, especially the home haunt community.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys.
If you're crazy enough to run a home haunt for free, then you are probably, you know what I mean?
You're probably good people to know.
You're probably going to prioritize that over almost any other personality conflict you might have.
Yeah.
Because, like, I am sure, like, a lot of the people we connect with regularly in the haunt community, that if we were not all haunters, we would not ever interact. We would just be in completely separate circles. I'm not saying they're bad people. We would just be in totally separate circles.
Oh, yeah.
Both geographically, ideologically, and in so many other ways, we'd be in separate circles.
Yeah.
But haunting brings us together, and it gives us that common ground, and it's a big enough common ground that we can just hang out there.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's a common campground almost. And I will warn, because we talked about this last week, that camaraderie, that friendship, it can turn toxic.
Right.
But I've not experienced that personally.
Mm-hmm.
I have never felt any kind of toxic pressure to put haunt family ahead of real family, diddly diddly dee.
No, me either.
We saw how that happened at Field of Screams and how people were talking about it. I've never felt that.
No.
But just, that's the precaution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Number 6. The praise. Who doesn't love a good compliment, right?
Indeed. I mean, that's one of those things. It's like, everyone loves getting compliments.
Yeah.
But
even with your awkward when you get them.
Yeah. Well, and to me, there's a difference between, hey, you look good today, and, hey, this thing you put so much time into is really awesome.
Yeah, there is.
I would much rather get the latter.
Oh, yeah,
me You look too. Good today. Okay, fine. Yeah, I got 8 hours of sleep for once in my life. You know?
Yeah, I brushed my hair. What do you want?
I brushed my teeth and I brushed my hair and I slept 8 hours. You're welcome. What do you want?
No.
Yeah, but we get a lot of really good compliments. I mean, and you hear a lot of them on the inside. I can't believe this is a garage.
Well, I hear that, but I hear more of, come on, it's still going. There's still more. That's what I hear the most of.
Yeah, people really think that, because they see it from the outside, and we kind of intentionally keep the outside plain.
Right, yeah, because we've gone back and forth of, do we want to build a big facade and make it look like something else?
And there's been a few years we've had the resources and time to really invest in a facade.
Right, this would be one.
This would be a good one.
Yeah.
And we always come away with, no.
Right.
Let's not. Let's keep those expectations
low.
A little bit lower, so that way we can blow them out of the water even easier.
Yeah.
But I love it when you hear, it's still going. Like,
yeah.
Like, they can't believe, cause, yeah, it's 5 rooms. It's not huge, but compared to what you see on the outside, it's ginormous.
Right.
And on the outside, I get to hear, I can't believe that was in the garage. Oh, my God, that was so scary. And then there's the classic compliment. This was my first haunt when I was young, and now it's my kid's first haunt.
Yeah.
A, that makes me feel old as fuck. Uh-huh. Every time I hear it, it's like, oh, God. Oh, no. We got grand haunt babies. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm a grandpappy now. Oh. But it's such an honor to me, too, though, because
Right. They
had the experience. They enjoyed it so much
Yeah. That
they made damn sure it was their kid's first, too.
Yeah.
That is the highest praise you can get.
Yeah, it really is.
I cannot
is.
Think of higher praise.
No.
Because you loved what we did so much when all the years you've been coming that you wanted your kid to experience it first. You wanted that to be your kid's initiation into haunted attractions.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, yeah, we've had a few assholes.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. But for every asshole, there's 100 praises. There's 100 compliments.
Yeah.
And I am something like a therapist will tell you, like, for every negative, you need 7 positives to outweigh it, diddly diddly, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think we're at about 100 to 1, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So we're doing really good. And even someone that's, like, got my issues really struggles to focus on the negative.
Yeah.
It's such a loud chorus of praise.
Yeah.
Versus the negativity that I don't even hear the negativity. Even me. Yeah. Mr. I find the negative in everything.
Right. And it's also nice, you know, when adults who come through or haunters,
mm-hmm.
and they are just really impressed by the detail that goes into mm-hmm. it and the way it's built. You know, it's not just, you know, people coming through to get scared or kids or anything. It's the adults, too.
Well, I mean, there's a tradition of home haunting, which just, yeah, just string up some trash bags and tarp in your garage and make a maze, and yeah. you know, people jump through it. And, okay, there's something to be said for that. That can be a lot of fun.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but even home haunting has really stepped up.
Yeah.
I mean, most home haunts I know of use panels.
Yeah. Even if they're pallet panels, they're still paneled. They're still walls.
They're using solid walls. So, we're seeing this major step up in home haunting where the days of trash bags / tarp haunts are not really there anymore.
No.
So yeah, but still, the praise we get, it's so wonderful. And I missed it this year. Yeah. We got a lot of it at HauntCon, though. Mm-hmm. We got some of that back. Because people were really nice on both of the tours we did at HauntCon.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah.
Alright, number 7. The recycling. And that's just it. I'm not Mr. Let's go save the rah-rah, go save the environment and stuff. But I get a huge kick out of taking something. I mean, I do love the environment, don't get me wrong. I'm not a Captain Planet villain either.
No.
let's be clear here. I'm just not going out and buying a goddamn Tesla, okay?
Right.
Hey, I can't afford a goddamn Tesla.
Right.
But anyways... But I love finding things that other people looked at and said, this is so useless.
Yeah.
We're just going to throw it out.
Yeah.
And I love finding it, bringing it home, and giving it a second life.
Yeah.
It's such a thrill.
Yeah. I've had to curb my enthusiasm for
curbs.
For curb finds. Yes.
Curb your curbing.
Exactly.
Yeah, because unfortunately, we've gotten to a position now where we have no storage space, realistically.
Well, yeah, and sometimes I'd bring home useless.
But yeah, I mean, we find things curbside at garage sales and thrift stores, etc. I think all of our costuming right now is either thrift shop or garage sale finds.
Or our old clothes.
Or our old clothes, yeah. We have found so many things curbside. In fact, you just picked up, you mentioned it, I think, last week.
Yeah.
You picked up a picture / mirror frame. Not sure which it was. It's a frame.
Yeah.
But it's very ornate and pretty. It's just painted a goddamn hideous color.
Yeah, I don't know why she did that to that.
Like someone went to the Oops Paint in Home Depot and picked the wrong one.
Yeah, it's like this metallic blue color. It's really weird.
And it's not New Orleanian. Like, if this were in the Southwest, it would make sense.
Yeah, but I had seen her... at the garage sale, there were other things painted with this paint.
Yeah.
So,
Maybe she's losing her eyesight. Poor girl.
Maybe.
But, yeah, I mean, the funny thing about it is every once in a while, we get a neighbor that recognizes something that they threw out in the haunt. Like, we've had it, like, we found some broken clocks one year. I can't remember why we were using them.
It was for the clockwork crew.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We found crew of clockwork,
crew of clockwork, yeah. We did the Mardi Gras one. You're right. I'm like, we didn't have a clock theme. Oh, yeah, we kind of did. The crew of clockwork. You're right. It was a Mardi Gras theme. The theme was Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. We had a lot of broken clocks. We found some broken clocks in the trash.
Yeah.
Because broken clock is useless, right?
Well.
Except it's haunt decoration.
Yeah.
It's great. And we put them up, and one guy walks, is that our old clock? Comes up to us.
Yeah.
Probably. Where do you live?
You from around here?
Well, I live just up there. Probably was.
Yeah.
Probably was. I can't promise it, but it probably was. Mm-hmm. Odds are good. It's just hilarious when that happens, and it has only happened a few times, admittedly, but...
Yeah.
We use wheelchairs a lot.
Yeah.
We have... we bought one wheelchair at an estate sale that served us well, but it's just gotten so many years on it and so weathered that we've now replaced it with a much newer, more comfortable wheelchair.
Yeah.
Though this one did not have anyone die in it, so we can't.
Yeah.
We can't use that legend.
No.
But still, I guess we can. I mean, it's a legend, right?
Exactly. It's the haunted wheelchair.
Anyways, but yeah, so I really do get a kick out of finding things that other people deem so worthless, they were trash, and making something valuable out of them.
Yeah.
That really does tickle my cockles so greatly.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8.
Visiting other haunts.
This
was on both lists.
Yeah, for different reasons.
Yeah.
Because last time we said we wish we could go haunts the same way we did when we were just customers.
Right.
Just regular dudes and dudettes looking to get scared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not that anymore.
No.
We can't have that experience. But we still love going to haunts because we have a different experience.
Exactly.
I mean, basically now, I mean, it's like, I kind of wish, like, my ideal haunt experience, and this is physically impossible, would be to go through a haunt twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once as just a non-haunter customer, getting scared and enjoying it. And then once as a haunter, to look at and examine how it was done.
Yeah.
Now, this is... We're getting the, like, MIB mind erase technology to make this happen. This ain't happening. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. But that would be, like, the perfect haunt-going experience. Wouldn't you like to go to a haunt like that?
Yeah.
But I still think haunts are great fun. You get to see what others are doing. You get ideas. You get interior decorating options.
Inspiration.
But, yeah, we're not regular haunt customers. And I'm sorry to all the actors that are working very hard. And
right.
Oftentimes have amazing timing.
Yeah.
I mean, like we said previously, if we look at you and go, that was well timed.
Yeah.
That's high praise. I hope that's treated as high praise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're not falling on the floor screaming, which I know is what every actor wants, but that hopefully should be high enough praise to mitigate some of that.
Yeah.
But yeah. But no, we still love going to haunted houses. It's just a very different experience than before we were working in and building them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number 9 and 10 are admittedly related.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed appropriate to put them as separate for the reasons we'll get into. The run-up to Halloween. Especially, like, the 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
It's really electric. Because our season's only 3 days.
Right.
And I'd imagine for other haunts, you would change this to, like, the run-up to October.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really electric. The anticipation is so great. And we don't sleep much those weeks.
No, not at all.
And it's because we just can't. I mean, even if we don't have a lot to do,
right?
We find sleep very difficult. Because the energy level is just high. It's like a drug. Mm-hmm. It's like you're constantly caffeinated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sipping a Rockstar here, and I'm feeling a little bit of that buzz now. Yeah. But that's a chemical one.
Yeah.
This is an organic one that lasts weeks.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, we're tired and sore, we're achy, we're bitching constantly. But we're feeling that tingle, you know, in everything we do. And this year, and both of these are related in that these were lessons from this year.
Yeah.
Like, in 2019, I should say, not 2020. And that we didn't get them. Right. And these were things that I don't think I would have put on this list in 2018.
No.
Because I would not... I don't miss the stress and anxiety of the run-up to Halloween. No, don't be stupid. That's crazy.
Right.
I kind of do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of do.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you get a lot of that frustration that builds up over the year out.
Yeah. And you feel just a little more alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the stressful. Air crackles with electricity.
Your body tingles with excitement. It's
it's
such a weird sensation, I admit. But, yeah, and this year we didn't have it because of the forced closure. And I missed it, man. Yeah. I missed it bad, and I didn't think I would. I woke up, like, tired as hell on October 21st, and it's like, dude, what is wrong?
No.
I feel, like, extra exhausted and extra drained.
No.
It was so weird. But yeah, it's like being high on the season, and I missed that.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be having that conversation that we usually have every year of do we open or not for a while.
Yeah, because now we know what happens when we don't open, and it's...
Yeah.
It's like someone gave us, like, not... The good Xanax.
No.
The bad Xanax. You know, the downers that just... Oi! Hope that person's okay. I don't know if the microphone picked that up, but JHC, something collapsed out there.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't think that's going to happen again for at least a little while, because that's going to be really fresh in our minds, just how rough late October was in particular.
Yeah, we didn't feel like doing anything.
Yeah, it was a struggle to get out of bed and go to work.
Yeah.
Forget about, you know, doing anything seasonal.
Yeah.
But number 10,
mm-hmm.
The big one.
The chaos and excitement of Halloween itself.
Oh, man. You know, and this is another one of those lists, like, oh, I'm not going to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
No, screw that. There's no way I would miss bad.
Right. And I mean, even the haunt visits last year were tented because we knew we weren't going to be opening.
Yeah.
It's part of the whole reason we go to haunts is to get the creative juices flowing and get excited because we see what other people are doing and then... But, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, it's getting the going. It's more number 9, but it's getting that tingle going and getting it full throttle. And then, like I said, Halloween night, like, to me, and I don't know if you agree with this, mm-hmm. there's, like, three parts.
Mm-hmm.
There's the calm before the storm.
I never get that.
There's the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the calm down after. And the calm before the storm is relative.
Yeah. Now, there are some years where I am running around like a mad woman trying to do last-minute things.
Yeah, and then that's kind of what the calm before the storm is. It's usually just taking care of last-minute things. We have a checklist. We're doing it. It's everything from setting up the trick-or-treat area, doing repairs in the haunt, getting any last-minute actor supplies we need, things like that. And yeah, it's a lot of running around. But usually by Halloween, we've been open 2 nights.
Mm-hmm.
We know the haunt itself is working. We know the actors are going to be there.
Yeah.
We've taken care of that stuff. We're just taking care of the stuff specific to Halloween night.
Right.
And we know things are about to get really goddamn crazy.
Ah, that calm before the storm. I was thinking of opening night. Sorry.
No, this is Halloween night.
Yeah, Halloween night. We've been open for a few nights, so there is a calm before it, anxiety.
Like, usually you take Halloween off completely.
Yeah.
And there's this moment where we wake up, usually right around 8 or 9 a.m. on mm-hmm. Halloween. We usually sleep in a little bit. But we wake up, and everything feels weirdly still.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Feels very weirdly still, weirdly calm. And I can't mm-hmm. explain. And yeah, we have to take care of a few things. But usually by Halloween, the checklist we have to do... nowhere equals the amount of time we have to do it in.
No.
We usually have like 9 hours of time,
mm-hmm.
9 to 10 hours of time.
30 minutes of stuff to do.
30 minutes, an hour, maybe 2 hours of stuff to do, tops. If we have to go out and buy something, 2 hours worth of stuff to do. I mean, because we've been open 2 nights, the actor stuff is done, the promotion is done, everything work-wise is done. We're just waiting for the insanity, really.
Right.
And that is so surreal. Because you know, in a few hours, this place is going to be packed. They're going to get about 800 people, at least 800 to 1,000 people, Halloween night.
Yeah.
It's going to be madness. There's going to be people everywhere. Dear God, it's going to get crazy. But right now, it's perfectly still and calm.
Yeah.
And then you have the chaos of it starting. You have the actual opening of Halloween. And that is... It's so weird from my perspective as front of house.
Yeah.
Because, okay, and I said in the notes, it's like suddenly there's a line. Actually, at 7 when we open, there usually isn't.
Yeah.
We usually only have a couple of people.
Yeah.
But we do have people waiting. They come in, and then at some point, I look up, like at 7:10. It doesn't take long.
No, it doesn't.
It does not. We're not talking like a long wait.
No,
this.
No, no.
5-10 minutes. But suddenly I look up, and there's a goddamn line through our queue line, to the sidewalk, sometimes down the street.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Where did you people come from?
Yeah.
I looked away for like a minute.
Yeah.
And now you're all here. And suddenly there's a line. And then, 3 hours later, suddenly there isn't.
Yeah. And the last 2 years, it's been so weird. Because it's like 9:55. People know we close usually at 10, especially on weekdays.
And the thing was, we always make the promise clear. If you're in line by 10, we're getting it through.
Yeah.
So, theoretically, we could be open at like 10:30.
Yeah.
Easy. But at 9:55, boom.
There's nobody.
Nobody. I look up and I feel so alone. I went from being panicked and on and having to da-da-da-da-da doing the Bernie thing. And I look up and there is like the last group's there. And that's it's such a weird feeling because you... Because you're like, crushing line, crushing line, crushing line, crushing line, crushing line, crushing line. Wait, you're the last group?
Yeah.
I'm surprised every year by the last group.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised every year when it ends.
Because it is so quick.
Yeah.
And there's no petering out. There's no stragglers coming after. Like, other nights, we'll have stragglers come after we close.
Right.
I don't know what that's about.
No.
But Halloween night, it's drop dead. It's the weirdest thing. And it's just 3 hours of panic, problem solving, delaying, and just trying to crank people through that haunt.
Yeah.
And we tell our actors, you know, the first two nights are your warm-up.
Right.
You're going to get a couple hundred, might get 100 or 200 people each of those nights, but you're going to get 4 to 5 times that the next.
Yeah.
So be prepared. Be prepared. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just 3 hours of sheer craziness, and it suddenly starts and it suddenly stops.
Yeah.
You'd expect it to be like a bell curve, but no, it's just poof, a brick wall on both sides. It's the craziest thing. And then there's the aftermath. The cleanup, the pickup, etc. Got to empty the donation box. Spend some time with the actors in the actor tent. And usually that's when we drag out the 12-pack of beer for the actors of age.
Yeah.
And we try to do an after party, at least a loose get-together somewhere. Previously, we would go somewhere across river, but more recently, we've been doing it closer to home.
Yeah, well, and previously, we would take everybody out for a meal.
Yeah.
Using the donation money.
Yeah, and that kind of petered out because I think our crew got older, and especially on Halloweens that weren't on a Saturday. This year, it's going to be on a Saturday, but on Halloweens that weren't a Saturday, they needed to go home and get to sleep and get ready for work the next day.
Right.
So we would only have a couple of actors when we did go. So now the after party is usually like at a nearby bar or whatever. But yeah. Trying to do something. And, you know, and yeah, I don't like the part where I have to go around on Halloween and sweep up everything and do all
right.
that. And since you're the actor manager, you usually are planning where we're going to meet up and so forth.
Yeah.
You're trying to work that out.
Right.
And I'm there with a push broom trying to get 8,000 fucking candy wrappers up. But even that part is strangely cathartic.
Because
there's something weird about it. It's like you've had so much chaos for 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours. And now all I have to do is push this broom and pick up these wrappers.
Yeah.
It's very cathartic. It's a very zen sensation doing that. So I can't even say I hate that. And I definitely missed all of that this last year. And I'm looking forward to doing it, because the one thing we did do for the haunt this year was formally announce that we're opening for 2020.
Yes.
We set the ball in motion. I forgot we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that. I did it with the crew, and we did it on the website and the Facebook page. Everyone now knows we're coming back in 2020. I'm excited. Vivian Court is done. And unless something stupid happens with the road, that makes it impossible again. We're definitely opening this year. I mean, we've got a completed haunt. We got to put our queue line back together.
Right.
But other than that, got nothing really going.
No.
So we don't have much to do. We have like a 2 days worth of work to get the haunt open, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're pretty much ready. So yeah, we're going to do it this year. And we've always said, and one of the things that's kept us going, kept the momentum going, is we have to announce our last season. If we're going to shut us down.
Right.
You know, if it's not going to be the city or something like that, if we're going to do the shutdown, if we're going to quit, we have to announce a last season.
Yeah.
There has to be one more season.
Right.
And we've never been comfortable announcing one more season.
Nope.
And I don't think we ever will.
Not after last year.
No, not after what happened last year. Not after that reminder of why we do this.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you for spending the past near hour with us. I greatly appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun chatting about this. I really needed this catharsis after several days in Wichita.
Yeah.
Actually, realistically, only one day.
So far.
We only had one whole day, actually.
Yeah, Sunday. We're staring down a week, though. So.
You know, we don't leave until, like I said, midday Friday. So, help. Send help. Send beer. But indeed, you can follow along in our misadventures in Kansas at HauntWeekly.com or HauntWeekly on Twitter, HauntWeekly on Facebook, YouTube.com/HauntWeekly is our YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and everywhere that finer podcasts are distributed. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, episode number 221, 10 Things We Love About Haunting. We will see you guys next week when we will be back in our usual locale. See you then.